your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll read a few verses here, but let's focus our attention to verse 15. I had told Kevin, I'm going to disobey him right here. I told Kevin that I was going to do a lesson on being busybody. He said, well, leave me out of it. Didn't do it, Kevin. 1 Peter chapter 4, let's look at verse 15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. And I'm going to probably associate being a kind of a know-it-all along with a busybody in a lot of aspects or regards, because the mentality of one lends itself to the other, unfortunately. And what we see transpiring is something to take note of here in verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 4. He's mentioning this series of categories: a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, and then as a busybody in other men's matters. It's reminiscent of that list in Romans chapter 1, where you got all these terrible things that happen in society, and then you got this one that says disobedient to parents. And you're like, what? Yeah, disobedient to parents, right there along with all the other terrible things that do transpire in society. And this is listed among other terrible things, murderers and thieves and general evildoers, here in 1 Peter 4:15. It's interesting that we don't consider it something so serious or terrible for the most part. It can be offensive at times when we come across a busybody. And this is the way I picture a busybody, by the way. I learned as a teenager to love playing volleyball. I really enjoyed playing volleyball. You know, in volleyball, if you're going to play as a team or play effectively, you've got a spot that you're responsible for. It's like that way with a lot of functions on sports teams. You've got baseball is the same way, certain things that you're responsible for in certain positions. But in volleyball, I really enjoyed playing volleyball as I gained in height. You know, I got to where I could hit the ball and get it back to the other side. And I got to where I could lunge and dive and do all these kinds of things and, you know, hold my hands right and all that stuff. I really enjoyed playing volleyball, but I learned, especially when we learned to rotate and play at school too, in the gym and so forth, that we really needed to just kind of focus on our spot and not pay attention to the person next to us so much and what they're going to do, unless we're going to try to assist. I'm not going to try to do it for them. But the mentality that I had, of course, as a teenager, is that I'm getting better at this and I'm doing well at this, and that I know they're probably going to miss this ball. I'll just get it for them. That's a busybody. That's what it means to be a busybody. And you end up several spaces over from where you're supposed to be in the court. You end up way over from where you are responsible for doing your function on the team. And so the problem that arises, of course, is that you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. It doesn't matter that they were going to be, according to your assessment, incapable or unable. It matters what you're supposed to do in your spot. And so we have function, and it's understood. This is the kind of things that Peter is making the point about here in chapter 4, verse 15. We ought to know better than to be murderers and thieves and evildoers, and to be, in general, also busybodies. We ought to know better. It's just something that you pick up and you understand. You begin to get things explained to you if you get to be enough of a busybody anyway. Some people don't like having their affairs meddled in, and they'll explain it to you in a hurry. And preachers can attest to this pretty well. So in 1 Peter 4, verse 15, Peter is mentioning these things, of course, that you don't need to be identified as these types of people as Christians. You don't need to be identified as these kind of people that are suffering this way in life. But you probably will suffer. You are going to suffer. Look at the next verse. You will suffer as a Christian anyway. And you should not be ashamed for that. But if you ought to be ashamed if you suffer as any of those other things, including busybody. That's the inference that we can make here. The implication that Peter makes. Let him glorify God on this behalf if you suffer as a Christian, as someone who is not a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody. As someone who is genuinely practicing the religion of Christ, a Christian. We should speak and minister according to the will and blessing of God. We should endure suffering as a Christian, glorifying God. This is what Peter says. And we should not suffer as an evildoer. We follow Christ's example. Look back at chapter 2 and verse 20. Chapter 2 and verse 20 here in 1 Peter. It says that, what glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So it's akin to the other verse that we've read here, chapter 4, 15. That's the contrast. If you have committed these trespasses, if you're at fault and you suffer for those things, you ought to take that patiently. It's true, but you ought to take it with the understanding you need to make correction. But the contrast is if you suffer as a Christian, and if you suffer for doing well, you still need to take it patiently. And you need to understand the difference between the two. Now, in our discussion this morning, let's consider that being a busybody is something that we can arm ourselves against. We can do something about developing into the kind of busybody that's going to cause problems for other people. We can be on guard and develop some skills that can be honed for our benefit as well as that of others. I want us to look at some of the things that Scriptures say to help us. In Romans chapter 12, one of the things that's mentioned is that we ought to be careful about improper pride. We ought to be careful about the kind of arrogance that will lend itself into allowing us to be a busybody. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, I say through the grace of God given unto me that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, and but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We are reminded of how that we are all sinners. We are reminded of how we all have our trespasses and mistakes, and we all have our weaknesses. We all have the things that we do to be concerned with ourselves for our part. Appreciate so much hearing Brother Scott in prayer, because he mentions the things that we are aware of ourselves, you and I. We are grateful to be able to approach unto God. We are aware that we do make mistakes. We are aware that God's mercy is abundant and He does forgive. We are aware of those things, and as we do this, call those things to remembrance, we are humbled in the process. And we realize that we just do what we can. And it's not an awful lot, necessarily. But we do what we can. And it doesn't matter if you're an elderly widow. It doesn't matter if you're a teenage boy. It doesn't matter if you're a married couple. You're doing what you can to function in the body of Christ. And when we do what we can humbly, then we can be pleasing unto God. And we'll be on guard against being busybodies. for ourselves. I mean, we'll take in consideration that we're going to be concerned with the things of ourselves, and we're, it's true, commanded to not just look upon our own things, but also the things of others. He doesn't say be a busybody, though. In 1 John chapter 1, John mentions there, if we say that we have no sin, guess what we're doing? We're deceiving ourselves. And we're putting ourselves in a category that is beyond the help of God, because God is here to help us with our sin. If we're not even willing to acknowledge that we have sin, God's not going to be able to do anything for us. But we should keep a humble mindset, and we will be on guard against meddling and being a busybody. Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Romans chapter 14, verse 4 says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And we ought to remember this about our brethren. We ought to remember this about people in the world, that God is the one that judges, and that if, yes, we need to be putting the truth out there, it's true. And we need to be concerned about our fellow man and loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's plainly what the Bible teaches. But there is a point, there is a line that can be crossed, and we can understand what that is, that we would become a busybody if we start telling people specifically and do this and don't do that. And this is the way I would do it, and you need to listen to me because I'm right. That kind of stuff is just the exact opposite of what we're looking at here, humbling ourselves and understanding the reality of the situation. God is the one in charge, and He is the one that will do the judging. And He is the one to whom answers will have to be given, not to us. We should strengthen our motivations. That's the second thing we can do to be on guard against becoming a busybody. Strengthen our motivations, that is, to cultivate love and concern for one another. Genuine love and concern for one another. Not just fool ourselves into thinking that we're doing stuff and out of love and concern, but having genuine love and concern for one another. And when we can ask about particular situations, knowing that there are difficulties, and we can ask about, do you need help with thus and so? That's not being a busybody. That is exercising genuine love and concern, understanding there is a willingness to follow that up with some good elbow grease and some good investment of time. And we are doing what we can for one another. Exercising real love and concern, that's not being a busybody. And that does bring up another good point, that if we are busy doing good things, we're not going to be busy doing bad things. And that is a help and a guard as well. True brotherly love, let's turn back in Romans to chapter 5. Flipping around here in the book of Romans quite a bit now. Romans 12, Romans 14, Romans chapter 5. Now, Romans chapter 5, we can read about the greatness of love and the kind of love that's being talked about. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 beginning. Well, no, let's back up. I always do that. I want to start in verse 8, but it's, look at verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We read about the greatness of that love, and that is commended to us. We read about what Christ was willing to do for even those who were sinners, all of us, or those that could not do for ourselves. He did what we could not do, what needed to be done. And He was showing real love, and we can show real love to one another as brethren, and show real concern for one another as brethren, knowing that we are members of the same body together. We have much in common, we can show real love and concern and strengthen our motivation. And it will help us not to be busybodies. You know, there's the general statement in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's general. And that's not a whole lot of context I'm providing with that. In fact, I'm not going to provide you with any. It just says Colossians chapter 3. And then we can understand, though, that what it is to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is to do it by His authority. The authority of Jesus Christ is a lot of it bound up in the things that we can see that He did, the things that He said. It's invested in His Word, especially. But we can see the great example that He set before us. And we ought to pattern ourselves and know then what real love and concern for one another is by seeing the way He behaved. It's great if we have had other good examples. It is wonderful if we have had other good examples. But the one that we can all agree on for sure is Christ. Strive to be like Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This is the third thing that we can do to be on guard against being a busybody. Philippians chapter 2. And it goes right hand in hand with the others. Things that we've talked about, humility and humbling ourselves and having strong motivation of love and concern. This is what we see in Philippians chapter 2 being talked about, and here it is applied for Christians to take it to heart ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 beginning says, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. You see how this can put us in motion, and put us on a path that will keep us from following one of being a busybody. We're not going to think of ourselves as being able to do it better than them. We're not going to think of ourselves as better than them. We're not going to think of ourselves in any way except for to understand the way God looks upon us all together. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence all only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And do all things without murmurings and disputings. If we're not going to murmur and dispute, if we're not going to have strife and vainglory, if we're not going to have those kinds of things, we must not have busybodies. And I don't think we have a big problem with this here. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, I don't think, in preaching a sermon like this. I'm trying to strengthen our resolve to increase our love and concern and humility is true. I like for us to be able to focus on what the Bible says about these things and not be concerned so much with who's guilty. Not the issue. The issue here is laying out the truth and understanding what the Bible says about these things, what Peter has said, what Paul has said, what the Holy Spirit is telling us about these things, and how that we can help one another, and how that we can recognize the truth of how the body should function together. It's true. Again, what he says here in Philippians chapter 2 is, look not every man on his own thing, but also on the things of others. And yet, he's still in harmony with what Peter says about busybodies. We can and should be concerned about the things of life together and doing what we can for one another, because the things of life can get us down. And we need to be careful about helping one another. We need to be concerned about doing what we can for one another. Recognize what Christ did and said. Others will see his likeness in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, which mentions that Christ must be in us or should be in us, says it this way: examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. We have an influence, and it should be an influence that is positive because of our concern for others' well-being, because of our love. We have an influence that should be a positive one because we are doing what Christ has done and showed us to do. And certainly he was not a busybody, even when he talked with the woman at the well, even when he talked to others in life and talked to the woman at the well, John chapter 4, about her living with somebody, not her husband. He was not being a busybody. He was demonstrating to her something that she needed to correct and overcome. And then pointed her in the right direction as well, looking for the water of life. We have an influence, and it should be combined with others' our concern for others' well-being. Peter makes no bones about singling out Jesus as the only one without sin. And we can read that in his epistles. He is the one, the spotless Lamb of God. That's the way Peter pictures him. He is the one that had no sin. But we all have ourselves faults and sin. We have blemishes. He had none. But we just can't give up trying just because we know that we're going to stumble, and we know that we commit trespass, and we do have our faults. We can't just give up and quit trying. Instead, and rather, we ought to be striving all that much harder to be like Christ. As an offense both to man and to God, busybodying is an activity which we should not participate, we should not partake. We ought to be able to put that aside as something of, it's unchristian. Inasmuch as it is unchristian to be a murderer or a thief or a general evildoer, it's unchristian to be a busybody. That's the way Peter lists it here in chapter 4, verse 15 of the first epistle. And as we consider what he's saying and how he's saying we should be looking at things, yeah, we're a lot different from the world. Just back up a few verses, and the way we ought to focus: if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God gives. We're none of us any more important than any of the rest of us. We are members one of another, and we ought to, in seeing that, understand how out of place being a busybody really is. Shouldn't meddle in the things of others. And I think that's made clear in the New Testament as well. But as we consider all of what we've looked at this morning, our conclusion is just that busybody is an activity that we should not participate or take part in. It's something that ought to be disdained and seen for what it is, a disruption, a sowing of discord among brethren. And we know those things the Lord hates, Proverbs chapter 6. And so this morning, as we consider the activity that we've looked at here in 1 Peter 4:15, on being a busybody. If we find that we have fault, let's fix it. Let's repent. Let's pray about it. Let's strive to do those things that we've talked about in our points that will help us be strengthened and on guard against it. Humble ourselves. It takes some effort to remember those things that ought to put us where we really are in relationship to God and others. And hearing what the world has to say doesn't do it. You've got to look to the Word of God in order to see things as they really are. To see each other with the value that we really have to God. You've got to look to the Word of God to be able to see how to behave ourselves toward and with one another. And so if you have a need this morning to make your life right, the opportunity is yours. And we will pray with you and for you. If there is anything that we can do, you would let us know. And we're not prying and being a busybody. We just want to know if we can help. And we ought to be able to say that with a smile and genuine concern. But if you'll come forward and let us know, won't you do so while together we stand and sing.